Hello, and welcome back to Bench to Bedside. I'm your host, Dr. Susan Firth, Executive Vice President and Chief Scientific Officer of the Research Institute. In this three-part series of our podcast, we'll be focusing on the Institute's dedication to diversity, equity, and inclusion on campus and off, as we continue our celebration of the 100th anniversary of the first research lab at CHOP. We'll take a look back to see just how far we've come, because today we not only strive to promote a welcoming and inclusive environment with a diverse workforce on campus, but we conduct research to promote evidence-based interventions that aim to reduce health disparities in our Philadelphia community. My guest today is Dr. Tyra Bryant-Stevens, director and founder of CHOP's Community Asthma Prevention Program and AVP and director of our Center for Health Equity. Dr. Bryant-Stevens is nationally recognized for her work in community-driven, evidence-based research in asthma interventions. Welcome, Dr. Bryant-Stevens.
Thank you.
For nearly 40 years, you've worked as a pediatrician and with research projects covering inner-city asthma, community-based participatory research, and much more. How has research focused on children's health equity evolved since you began your medical career, and specifically here at CHOP?
When I started this 25 years ago, the asthma research piece, the one thing that I saw was that no one really understood what I was doing. The focus has been for years on asthma disparities, like how do we reduce asthma disparities? And I hope that we're now moving to how do we achieve health equity. So the goal is that every child achieves their best health as opposed to really centering it on one population or the other. So we're not going to center it on, can black kids be like white kids? Can black kids and white kids achieve their best health? That's a huge shift. The other thing is that there was no such thing as implementation science, which is probably what I've been doing all along before I got a name. So I think a lot has changed over the last 25 years.
Yeah, that's a great vantage point.
Yes.
Back in 1997, you founded the Community Asthma Prevention Program, CAP for short. Mm-hmm. This is a CHOP program that supports families of children with asthma and utilizes community health workers to implement asthma prevention and management interventions in our inner city communities. That's an extraordinarily successful strategy in other places and even throughout the world. So I'm wondering what you've learned by leveraging those kind of community resources over the last 25 years, and how has your research with CAP affected the equity that you talked about in looking at health outcomes?
My first NIH-funded research project was environmental justice, and it required a primary care doc as well as an environmental scientist and a community partner. And so all the grantees met yearly, and I went to my first one shortly after I got funded, so I really hadn't started yet. They had the community partner. They asked her to stand up and tell her experience with this. Her comments have stayed with me for over 20 years, which was, I am sick and tired of researchers coming to our community to rape our community for their own advancement. As a young researcher, I was like, oh my God, I can never do that. And so it was something that really helped me think about going forward, what I wanted my research to look like. The idea of raping means you're extracting, you're not giving anything, and it feels abusive. And so really feeling, I don't want to be abusive. I want to listen to the community. I want to make sure at the end of the day, when my funding leaves, something is left in the community. The way that I've structured the CAP program is to always utilize community residents, make sure that we leave community residents equipped with at least being able to teach about asthma. They may not be able to do the home visits, but they can teach about asthma to their community and to connect them to a community site so that there's something left. And also, I've been really blessed that I've been able to stay funded for the entire time, so I didn't really have to leave completely, even though my research has changed. I've been able to remain in community. But that's just something that really kind of pierced my heart way back then and is still with me over 20 years later.
That's really an impressive story. I can imagine how that stayed with you and inspired you to work towards environmental justice and community partnerships and really leaving a footprint in the community and leaving more options than when you came. I imagine that that influenced your now leadership of the Center for Health Equity, expanded commitment from CHOP to not only understand but to more actively address disparities in children's healthcare while building a diverse and inclusive team to champion these efforts. So as the inaugural leader Can you tell our listeners about the Center for Health Equity and its goals?
At a high level, our goal is to discover, implement, and disseminate best practices for children to achieve their best health. Our overall goal is very broad. We know that 80% of health outcomes is really influenced by social determinants of health, only 20% by health care. So realizing that, the center really wants to marry the two and make sure that we are addressing social disease as well as clinical disease. So we want to partner with others to provide unbiased clinical care, to have safe and healthy housing, safe and healthy neighborhoods, quality education, and really advocate for children in Philadelphia and beyond to have everything they need to achieve their best health.
Recognizing the magnitude of the impact of social determinants of health, speaking as the leader of the Research Institute, how can our scientific community help the center influence the change that you're trying to make? And how can we help our local community and beyond with this work?
In terms of the Research Institute, really thinking of health equity as everybody's work and not as a thing you do, but as a state of mind and as an approach to everything we do at the Research Institute. So even if you're doing bench research, you may have a curiosity about how something works, but at the end of the day, where do you want it to take you in terms of improving child's health and achieving health equity? I think we have to also bring in the community voice more, even with some of the initial clinical stuff that we do, hear from them what their concern is. You know, one of the things I want is to reduce emergency room visits. But I was talking to a group of parents who said, well, I thought going to emergency room actually shows that I'm a good parent. My child is sick, I get them taken care of right away. So really even just hearing that helped us changing our messaging. What does good care look like? And yeah, we want you to be at the point where you don't need to go to emergency room, but if you need to go, yeah, that is being a good parent. But how do we keep you from needing to go? So I think just hearing that voice changed the way we approach our messaging, the way we approach our education. And I think as much as we can do that in our research, at the end of the day, it's going to make the change, because we know the standard mantra is that it takes 17 years from research to the population, and that's just too long. I think we have to be more intentional and get it done a lot faster.
It's too long when the need is so great.
Yeah.
Sounds like listening to the community, partnering with the community to identify and solve problems, speak the same language is really important. You've been at CHOP a long time. Can you talk about why the Research Institute at this point in time is a strong place to work to examine health and healthcare inequities?
Obviously, we have some of the brightest minds and the experience in research that we have right here. In terms of children's research, we're at the best place that we can be in order to really start to incorporate some of these health equity principles and approaches. There's the support of leadership, both from you and from our CEO, Madeline Bell. And so we're in a good space because we can be intentional about it now. As long as we're intentional threading it throughout the different spaces in the Research Institute, we'll be successful in really changing children's lives.
That's terrific. What's your best advice to young physicians and investigators who are also inspired to address health equity in their work and diversity and inclusion in the workplace?
First of all, not thinking of health equity as something you do, but thinking of it as this is a state of mind. No matter what I do, I want to make sure I'm intentional in bringing those principles to mind. But in terms of the actual getting the research done, there's a lot of barriers, both in the community because of the untrusted feelings, but also because of the way we approach it. So I think getting your, even if it's one or two community partners who are not only well-versed in the community, but have a strong voice, not afraid to stand up to you. I think it's always important to have that person who's not going to be intimidated by a bunch of scientists sitting around the table, but will be willing to say, okay, you guys got this wrong. I remember our most recent project, we were doing our baseline questionnaires, and I'm always someone who worries about asking parents too many questions. And so this perceived stress scale came up, and I was like, I think we really need to ask this. And all the scientists around the table were like, no, we got too many questions. And the parents like, well, if you don't ask anything else, you need to ask that. So it was really important to hear her say, you need to include perceived stress, because that's important and that will really influence the way they take care of their child. So just having that voice, we're counting questions and she's thinking about the issue.
Do you have advice for investigators starting out? One, how to build that trust, and two, how to find those kind of partners?
It's a lot of groundwork. It's not easy. I think one of the easiest ways to work with community health workers, because their expertise is in the community. So I've utilize them a lot to kind of understand who I should be going to. When we first started, we had our community health workers canvas West Philly all the time, asthma ladies, and they would stop at the barbershop. They'd start wherever and just talk about our classes, and it just really gave us a way to get in the community, and they trust them. So I think that's one kind of relatively easy way to get that. But if you don't have that, you can just look at the local newspaper, find out who's making the difference in the community, who's out there, who's doing things, and connect with them. Most community groups are happy to hear from CHOP, like, you want to help us, but they don't want to be used. They don't want to be used for their expertise. There's definitely a balance, and there's a way to be respectful and humble when you do that, which I would encourage junior faculty to try to be intentional in doing that.
Yeah, that's great advice. So lastly, something I ask all the guests that I have the privilege to interview here is, what is it about CHOP and the Research Institute that's inspired you to build your career here?
The one thing that struck me early on was that there was a true commitment to children's health, whereas other places I worked, I wasn't really sure of that. I think that's what's inspired me and motivated me to stay, because despite everything else, I believe that folks really want to improve children's health. And I think with the Research Institute, the ability for us to make have exchanges over the years and be able to grow together in terms of my research, and definitely having people who could advise me on study design and things like that. I always do complicated studies, so I always need a lot of help with that. But having that expertise has been really essential in terms of my own career.
Thank you. I, like you, feel that the commitment to children's health is really palpable here, and that collaborative spirit for individuals to contribute their expertise to help each other do their best work. I think that's one of the best aspects of this place.
For sure.
So thank you. It's been terrific. Thanks very much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Please join me next time as we continue the diversity and inclusion conversation with Dr. Paulette McCray, Associate Director of Specialty Programs and Diversity in the Office of Academic Training and Outreach Programs. For more stories about people of the Research Institute and the incredible work they're doing, visit Cornerstone, our official blog, at research.chop.edu/cornerstone-blog.